This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Brad Chevalier and the two goalies go at it head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
New Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots, he scores! Brad Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear, he scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my normal Monday morning partner in crime, McKendree University Hockey Bearcats head coach Gary Henson. What's going on, G?
Hey, good morning.
Fired up?
I am.
You know, I got to tell you.
Okay, tell me.
You should have seen your eyes light up. You know, we love our intro, right? I mean, it gets us going, right?
Yes.
Number one, when the march started, you kind of perked up. That don't yeah. You know, that gets the chills going, right?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, when the man says we got a problem in front of the Hawks bench, you kind of perked up a little bit.
I smile every time.
I love that term. We got a problem in front of the Hawks bench. Not. We got a fight breaking out. We got a scrum. We got a problem.
We got a problem because old Kimby was in there creating it.
That was good stuff. No, hey, and how about the intro, too? You know, great big save by Jake Allen, which we heard a lot of that going on Saturday at the old Barnyard. Yeah. Tarasenko in the clear. He shoots. He scores. We had some of that going on Saturday. We had just an all-around great home opener. We're going to hear from a great fan who I think does a great job on his first segment here with Blues NHL Podcast. Was real excited about it. Dennis Minner, who a lot of you guys are familiar with, Minner Arena. It's like a basement shrine to Scott Trade Center, to the St. Louis Blues, to hockey in general. It's an awesome place. We did a show live from there last week. We've invited Dennis to come in this year and do a little segment on a fan's perspective from a guy that, like I said, that's tied a little bit to the team. He's around them a lot, does a lot of pictures, things like that for the players. He's just got a great love and passion for the game, but his basement is just this unbelievable. You got to Google it. It's unbelievable. He's going to be coming to you live from Minner Arena with Dennis Minner each week, and I listened to his first take this morning, and what I was excited about was I wasn't able to be at the game Saturday. I don't think you were as well. You were coaching. Mm-hmm. He gives you a little bit of his take on the upgrades, and I saw some video. And I'm excited to attend my first game down there coming up.
The upgrades to the arena.
Yes, yeah. And just awesome stuff. Hopefully, I'm checking with her schedule now, but if we can get with Angela Sharp today because she's awesome at being awesome, I'm sure she will give us her thoughts on the upgrades and the fan perspective as well. But, again, this is a Blues hockey show first and foremost. You know, Gary, we're two games in. Mm-hmm. Oh, and another thing I want to bring up, too.
Okay.
Your cohort in crime on the bench is going to be joining us every week with, you know, on the bench with Butter. A lot of you guys out there know Hockey Brown, Tommy Brown, great hockey family, kind of like the Henson family. And Tommy does an unbelievable job. He's been coaching for a long, long time, hockey, and been a Blues fan his whole life, kind of like Gary, and born into it, so to speak. And going to be joining the show on Mondays. You know, that fan perspective, giving us a little bit of the insight, just like you do sometimes when we wonder about some of the intricacies of the game when it comes to coaching. And maybe, you know, I know you never speak for Yo, and neither will Butter, but you might be able to give us some insight as to some of the things that are going on. I know a lot of people are curious the whys, You know, why does a team play this way? What's the style? What are we looking to do? Why are we struggling on the power? Things like that. So
gotcha.
Having both you guys in here on Mondays is going to assist with that for sure, because I can promise you, you're going to get absolutely none of that from me.
That's
you know,
accurate.
You know me. I want to fight, hit, and shoot. That's really all I want to do, because that's really all I could do, because I couldn't skate. So, therefore.
You could skate a little.
So, therefore, that's what I'm going to give you. Anyway, I tell you what, we're just a few minutes away from getting the real hockey god in on the phone, Mr. Rivers, your friend and mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he'll have some interesting thoughts.
He'll have thoughts.
Oh, he'll have thoughts. I mean, what's wrong with his thoughts?
Nothing's wrong with him. It's just he'll have thoughts.
They're just thoughts?
Yeah. They're interesting. I mean, I like Jamie's perspective, but as a player, I think it's good that we hear from the, he's got that ice kind of view, you know, where like, okay, so for example, I don't coach the ice, I coach the bench.
Right.
You know, but Jamie, he's still got that player mentality, you know,
right.
So he's telling us what the players see.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of fun. And I'll give him credit. He's really good at articulating that to the fans, I think. I mean, when I listen to Jamie talk, it's maybe a little easier for me to envision what he's talking about on the, you know, with in regard to what he sees on the ice or what a player's thinking on the ice. But I think he articulates it pretty well for the casual fan too.
I can tell you this from a just a pure fan's perspective. What I appreciate most about Jamie, and I've told the story about how this whole thing came about.
Yeah.
I think as a fan, you have a preconceived notion about a lot of players. You know what I mean? I think sometimes we as fans think if you're not a superstar, you know, I mean, what do you contribute to the game of the NHL? Jamie was a blood and guts player that played the game really hard the right way for so long, and he embodies really kind of everything that we're talking about in a hockey player and what it takes. And you know,
yeah, there are more guys
right.
like Jamie Rivers
right.
than there are superstars,
right.
And that's why I think it's so great when we get that.
Sure.
It's easy to you tell me. I think it's easy to kind of figure out what a superstar is
right,
doing.
Right.
Because they're so noticeable all the time. They have the puck on their stick and they're the ones scoring the goals or whatever.
Right.
But the true, you know, just
right.
the heart and soul of the team, which is what Jamie was
right.
his whole career.
Right.
There's way more of those guys, and having Jamie kind of explain from that perspective, I think it gives hockey and hockey fans an overall view of
right.
what the game's really about.
And that was the thing, you know, like I'm obviously as lifelong as it can be Blues fan, always loved it. And I probably am a fairly typical Blues fan. I love the hardworking guy. I love the fighters, right? I mean, that's,
yeah.
I love the fighters. This town has embraced those guys that stand up and do all this kind of stuff. So, again, I say this all the time. The first thought was, you know, because we knew Darren Kimball.
Yeah.
And if we thought – and. I honestly always said this. I asked him, can you get a hold of Tony Twist and see if he's interested in doing this? Like, you and Tony, this would be a neat – and the show would have been totally different if it would have worked out that way. But it didn't work out that way, and Darren was the one that said, hey, I'm friends with Jamie Rivers, and, you know, I think he'd be awesome at this. He does this and this. And I said, hey, I trust you if you think this is great. And, yeah, it was the best decision in the world because Jamie really leads the show, and he has these things. Now, I do find this interesting. I get a lot of fans of the show – that contact us that say that, like, they think, Kimball wouldn't may or may not be this way or one way or the other with it, but they're like, Darren just he gets better at this all the time. And I think Darren's always understood the game, the way he jumps in and articulates and
correct.
Do it. I think that, you know, again, it's been a great mix, and I hope fans are enjoying it. And like I said, on Mondays, you're going to hear from just some normal guys like myself, and then obviously you guys from a coaching perspective, and you're fans as well, though.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The thing. You and Butter both are fans as well. But we'll keep continuing, you know, bringing you the pro perspective,
right.
so to speak, which again, you know, it's funny. We had a little bit of exchange with a fan over the weekend that wants to come in and give Darren and Jamie a dose of reality, he told us. Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
It was good.
Well, I'll tell you.
He's going to give Jamie and Darren a dose of reality.
Okay.
And I kind of fired back at him on Twitter, and I got in an argument with him on Twitter a little bit, and Jamie had sent me a text and said, why are you arguing with a guy that has 9 followers? And I just said, because it's fun, and I've had a few cocktails. It was homecoming, so I was at a homecoming party.
Oh, well,
so
that's good.
I was watching the game on TV. It was a good night.
I love listening to Kimby, and you know, even being, you know, I've been friends with Kimby for over 25 years, you know, so that's a long time. And it's not that I didn't appreciate the grinder kind of backbone of the team, but you know my dad, or knew right. my dad, and he would argue all the time that if you gave him 20 Brian Sutters, he'd win the cup. And I'd argue all the time, if you gave me 20 Brett Hulls, we'd win the cup.
Right.
We might win 10-9 all the time.
That's right.
I always favored like that, you know, just thought, you know,
yeah.
that guy. But then, you know, when you have a relationship with Kimby, and you coach with Kimby, start talking hockey with Kimby, then you kind of, you know, you kind of see the. Not that I devalued him, but you
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm getting at more? Just like I appreciate him, but now I appreciate him even more.
Well, and so. I think as a fan, that's what, you know, we gravitate towards what we gravitate. So like right now with this team, it would depend on like who you're gravitating to. And then we as fans always want to like get upset or whatever with other players that we feel aren't playing well. We're going to get into a little bit of that on this show, because there's a couple guys, like I'll say it right now. I think 27's playing the best. I mean, it's 2 games. Okay, so let's not start handing out Norris trophies yet. But if 27 wants to play like this the rest of the year,
you're okay with that?
Yeah, I've been a little critical of him, no doubt about it.
Well, rightly so, I think. I mean, that's what we're here to do, is talk and express our concerns and opinions, and so it's okay.
And again, it's 2 games. I get it, but you know what? I got to tell you,
but that's not just 2 games, though, man. And this, let's really think about this. So let's really analyze this. If he can do this for 2 games, why can't he? You know, why can't he do it for the whole year?
Well,
you get what I'm saying. If this is your skill level and you are able to achieve that, then what prevents you from maintaining that level of play through 80 games, other than, you know, I get it, it's a grind. But those 2 games are, he played at a superior level.
Well, and I think where I was going more was, and I'll even correct myself here, was let's not start planning parades down market after 2 games because we're 2-0. But I will say this. I think too often we don't look at games like this as being as important as others, because, like, we get into the – like, right now it's the beginning of the season. We'll get into the run later, you know, where it's, you know, 3 games in a week, and then next thing you know, and then we kind of devalue games that already happened. The reality of it is, and I know they've started out a little rough, although they turned the page thanks to an old friend, Ryan Reeves. but, you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, we walked right into their building and basically handed it to them on – their opening night when they raised the banner. And the boys talked a little bit about that on Thursday, that's a tough night for you. There's a lot of emotion going on, a lot of extracurriculars. You know, we do that. But then we come home, and we got to deal with the same thing, right? Now, we're not raising a banner, obviously, but we come home. And, you know, Hitch comes into town, which is a distraction for everybody involved. And then a really improved Dallas Stars team comes into town, who everybody feels like is going to be a challenger. And we handle our business. So, therefore, I will say, 2 games in, I'm happy with the results. And we're going to hear what Jamie has to say here in just a minute. Before we go to Mr. Rivers, I want to remind everybody that as the season's unfolding here, you'll be able to hear us twice a week. You'll get the Monday edition out sometime, you know, usually before the end of the workday on Mondays. And, of course, you'll hear the in-studio version of Blues NHL Podcast on Thursday. Same thing, should be out typically by the end of your workday. Mondays, you'll get myself, Coach Gary Henson, Coach Tommy Brown, and some other guests and fan perspective, along with our Monday call-in from Jamie Rivers. And on Thursdays, obviously, you have Mr. Kimball and Mr. Rivers in studio with myself, and sometimes a guest. Gary will join us sometimes. We'll bring in a fan sometimes, people that are doing good within the community, things of that nature, maybe some former Blues players. And we're talking about doing some stuff with the alumni this year. So please make sure you tune in. And like I said, the show is going to be twice a week throughout the season. You can find us at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you'll find the current shows. You can listen to some back episodes. Check out some of the stuff. And again, you know, some of the interviews we may have with some of your favorite players, former players, guys throughout the game of hockey and such. So, again, that's Blues NHL Podcast. It's also the easiest way to subscribe to the show, which will give you a notification each time the show has been released. You'll also hear from us on Twitter. On Twitter, you can find us at STL Blues Podcast. We also have a secondary account at NHL Show. You guys can find us there as well. So that's at NHL Show and, of course, at STL Blues Podcast. Our ask there is that you follow us on Twitter. Get engaged in any conversations we may have, again, throughout the season. You know, we'll have some fun with that through the game like we did with our friend with 9 followers. And, of course, you can jump in and get involved. Sometimes we've talked a little bit. We're going to do some Darren and Jamie takeovers of our Twitter accounts during the games. And let them kind of tweet out what they're seeing, and you guys can jump in that as well. So look for that throughout the season. Of course, you can find us on Facebook as well. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. Our ask there is that you like our Facebook page. We'll share the show out through there, of course. When you see it, if you'd share it around, that would be fantastic. I hope to get as many people involved in this as we can. It's growing every day. And again, our ask of you is to like our Facebook page. And when you see us share the actual show, if you would share it in an effort to reach all the great Blues fans out there, that would be fantastic. We're now on Instagram. Follow us, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Instagram page. We're looking to connect with all Blues fans in all facets of social media. Lineupmedia.fm couldn't do the show without this great, fast-growing podcast company. They're the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. The numbers tell us that you're a podcaster and you like about 6 podcasts. I promise you, if you check out lineupmedia.fm, you're going to find another podcast that interests you, that local flavor. You're going to get some a couple Cardinals. You got The Drop, who does a recap of all the Blue shows. We had him in studio for our inaugural show this year, and it was a great time having him in and getting his perspective. And again, talk about a guy that tirelessly works the Blues games. This guy gives you that recap after every game. I can't even imagine doing that at night. But again, he's passionate about it. He loves it, and his stuff is really, really good. So make sure you check out The Drop Podcast. Again, couldn't do the show without our producer, Brian Crock, and of course, Andrew Allen, and all the stuff those guys do behind the scenes. Well, it's that time, G.
That time.
It is that time. I mean, I almost feel like he needs intro music or something like the Empire theme from the Star Wars. Maybe we'll do that. Brian, you can get on that for us, a little intro music for Jamie, because I think we're going to need it. And there's no doubt, coming off a 3 Red Bull bender is everybody's favorite. Jamie Rivers with the Synergy Hockey. Jamie Rivers report. What is going on, Jamie Rivers?
Hey boys, how we doing on this fine Monday?
Well, the better question is, how are you? You're off a whirlwind trip with your young hockey team, and I'm sure an all night bender with Red Bull in your review of the Blues home opener. How are you this morning?
Good. Full energy, not chemically enhanced at all today. Just woke up to one of those days, boys.
Just
feet touched the ground and I'm running.
High on life. I like it. Well, we have your friend, yeah. Coach Henson from the McHenry Bearcats hockey team. Let's welcome him into the show with you there, Rivs.
Hey, Rivs, how are you?
Always good to have Coach Gary Henson with us, baby.
Hey, I love it, too. You called him Gary because off air you called him Jerry, and he wanted to jump over the table like you were here. That is his pet peeve. Hey, that's one of his bugaboos, okay? Having sex with old people for money, bear traps, and being called Jerry. Those are his 3 bugaboos.
Well, what's unfortunate for Gary now is that every time I see him, it's going to be Jerry.
Yeah. So
that's how it works.
He may give you something back you don't want.
Now that I know that he hates it,
hey,
he's going to get called that.
Hey, I know you play in the NHL. I know you play in the NHL with a lot of tough guys, but the reality is you never mess with a boy from Granite City.
Oh, no.
You better be careful.
He messes
You've
with his boy.
You've never messed with a guy you called Jerry before.
Oh, man.
Well, Rivs, we're 15 minutes into the show. I've already nominated our captain for the Norris Trophy. I've already got us with a parade down Market Street. Am I jumping the gun a little bit here?
Yeah, obviously we're jumping the gun a little bit, but you know what? I will say that I'm pleasantly surprised with not the team overall. Obviously, I am with the team overall, but I'm really, really happy that Jake Allen has come out. And, you know, there's always doubters. And last year he had his doubters. He bounced back and finished the season as arguably the best goaltender in the league. And, you know, through training camp and preseason, people again, question marks, not sure, you know. And he's silencing those critics again. He's playing awesome. I mean, you know, what did Hitch's team had, what, 45 shots on net or something like that? And Jake Allen was sitting there closing the door, and he had a couple of great saves to boost the team. And, you know, when that happens and you build your team from the goaltender out, you know, your next up is your defenseman. And like you said, the D are playing phenomenal right now. They're moving the puck well. They're limiting the team's chances. They got great sticks in the defensive zone. And the number one thing that they're bringing to the table right now is they're scoring goals. They're bringing offense that, quite honestly, we've never had in a long time from the St. Louis Blues blue line. So, you know, Kevin Shattenkirk was a great offensive-minded player here for the Blues, and Petro's always tried to contribute. But right now it just seems like it's coming naturally, that it's not just off the power play either, that guys are getting involved in the 5-on-5 or 4-on-4. And, you know, that's translating into more goals for the Blues, which at the end of the day makes the defense's job and the goaltender's job easier.
You know, a couple of interesting things in the game, and Blues fans are watching intently as, you know, the season started. We, you know, a lot of times our beloved Blues, you know, in the past they deal with, you know, the fans are a little preoccupied with some October baseball. We don't have that problem. So everybody's watching pretty intently. And I got to tell you, you know, just from the start, a couple of cool things. You know, obviously the Blues are honoring the great Noel Picard with their number on their helmet. And lo and behold, who scores the first goal at home this year? Number 4, Carl Gunnarsson, who hasn't scored a goal in a year. I mean, are the gods with us, my friend?
Well, look, you and there's no secret that you know, Carl Gunnarsson is probably not on my all-time St. Louis Blues team. But, you know, he's up in the play, and he throws it at the net and gets rewarded for that. And you know what? I honestly do kind of believe that Noel Picard was looking down at that point and said, you know, I'm going to help this guy out. I mean, he's wearing my old number 4. I got to give this guy a little bit of help along the way here. And I think that he reached out and helped deflect that puck into the net for our buddy Carl Gunnarsson.
You know, that's a little creepy because you remember when Musial died?
Yeah, they scored 6 runs. Yeah.
They scored 6 runs, but remember when the Blues honored him?
Mm-hmm.
Who was wearing 6th and scored?
Yeah.
Like, come on. It's just a little creepy.
It wasn't Jamie, though.
It was not Jamie.
No.
He was retired.
But he would have. No. But he almost jumped down on the ice.
Hey, I've seen Jamie in action. He was looking pretty good.
He looked real good against your McKendree Bearcats in that one night game. He was giving a little lumber and jawing at you as he skated by the bench. It was good.
Know, he commented on my hair a few times. Some other things.
Well, again,
he was representing Barry Melrose.
Great. Oh boy!
Well, yeah, how else am I going to get on ESPN when that guy keels over?
Jesus. Well, you know, so you know, we Gunnarsson, but then another defenseman jumps in, and you know, Edmondson, who I think most Blues fans are realizing that, you know, Joel Edmondson has really become that guy. I think that's going to do a lot of the stuff that it takes. I'll be honest with you, Ribs. He plays a lot like you did. He plays really hard. He can contribute offensively. He's responsible, you know, and he's not scared to get in there and do the things that need to be done. I think he's quickly becoming a fan favorite as far as with his style of play.
Well, yeah, you know, and look, Joel Edmondson, the Blues took the right path with this guy. And you know, what I mean by that is, and we've talked about it numerous times, about how hard it is to jump from junior hockey or college hockey and play defense in the NHL. And they, you know, they let him marinate down in the minors for a little while. They let him get his game. And Joel Edmondson, what we're seeing right now from him is kind of exactly what the Blues were projecting. This is the kind of player he was in the WHL. You know, he contributed a little bit offensively, was super sound defensively, really difficult to play against, and, you know, sacrificed of himself every game to help the team. And we're seeing all of those things right now from Joel Edmondson. And he's got confidence and experience now to back it up as well. So every time he's out there, you know, he's no longer the, you know, just make sure you get out of the game okay young defenseman. He's wanting to be a part of it. He wants to be a difference maker. And I think you see that, the confidence in a guy to jump up in the play like that and to get ahead of guys and to, you know, read the play kind of like that. It takes a while for that confidence to sink in, because if that doesn't work out and the team goes the other way, then guess what? You're getting a kick in the ass from the coaches asking you, what the hell are you doing up there? So he's getting it. He's figuring it out slowly here. I personally love the way he plays. I've always raved about how I like him and how I like his style. And, you know, the fact that he wears number 6 is certainly a positive for Joel Edmondson. But, you know, I think we're still just scratching the surface here on this guy. I think this guy has the potential to, you know, be a partner for a guy like Alex Pietrangelo for a long time and log a lot of minutes.
Yeah, Rivs, I don't think – and, two, like, we keep saying it's early and it's 2 games in, but there were definite signs of his maturity.
Maturity level.
But he was maturing last year, and it's continued. It's not like it's just been these 2 games. And what I've noticed – you know, with Joel, is he plays heavy shifts, and what I mean by that is, it's what you said, it's hard to play against him. Like, he's making the other team have to work really hard against him, and he plays really heavy shifts. And what I mean by that is, like, he's either jumping up in the offensive zone when he can, but when he's solid on D, he's got good gapping, and he's taking the body, and he's got the ability to wear guys down. And I think that's a testament to what the Blues have waited for and kind of did what you said, letting marinate into that sort of game.
Yeah, obviously, you know, and that's the whole challenge with young defensemen, is seeing how, you know, can you wait to let them develop? Can they develop quick enough? Does it all happen properly? And you know, there's a lot of guys that we don't end up talking about that don't ever come to fruition that start out like Joel Edmondson and have the same abilities. But for whatever reason, the team or the player or whatever circumstances don't help that situation come to fruition. Joel Edmondson, like you said, he plays a real hard, heavy game. And he is hard to play against. And he is going to grind down the other team's top players. And he's going to make them earn every inch on the ice. And through the course of a season, and certainly once the playoffs come around, that's really difficult to play against. And the other team's top lines, you know, if every single time you're out there, you've got to go through Joel Edmondson, whether it's a good stick on puck, whether it's body on body, whether it's a little cross check, a little complimentary elbow in the corner, whatever it may be, right? It starts to wear on you. So I'm obviously a big fan of the way he plays. I'm a big fan of that style of hockey. So 2 games in, he's looking great. And it's not just that it's 2 games in. I'm going back to the playoffs last year, and I'm including that right now in his body of work. And, you know, he's continuing to spike with his development.
You know, we move now to, like, the you know, those are a lot of things that go on that sometimes fans notice, don't notice. And we pride ourselves on being fairly educated fans that like the two-way, the hard-nosed play. One of the Blues' newest acquisitions has really impressed me with his style of play. And, you know, when going back, and I know, Jamie, I'm sure you're going to offer more on this because of the way you break the game down, but Gary and I were talking before the show today, just watching some general highlights. The plays that Shen made on both goals that he assisted on, they were secondary assists, but they were unbelievable. The pass to Yaskin, cutting through the middle to be able to slide it up to Schwartz on the side of the net so that he could misdirect the goalie, was just a great off-the-board play that it's not going to get a lot of credit. And then the hard work off the face-off along the board that never gets any credit unless you rewind the goal all the way back to its inception. What a play to get the puck back to Pietrangelo on the board and not allow that. You know, Stastny won the face-off, but it was in doubt. And Shen with the hard work to get the puck back to Pietrangelo. Just so far, your thoughts on Shen after 2 games?
Well, you know, my thoughts on him are kind of exactly what I believe, you know, I think what we expected or what we wanted anyways out of this guy. And, you know, once again, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit, and this time to the preseason where Samuel Blais gets rocked by Wilson in preseason. And who's right there to stick up for his teammate is Braden Shen. And you know what? He's not a heavyweight guy. He's not a guy that should be fighting Wilson. He is a tough, rugged kind of guy, and he stepped up and showed the Blues fans and his teammates and the organization that, you know what, you don't take liberties with my team. This is where I am now, and I'm a St. Louis Blue, and he stepped up and did that, and quite honestly, since that point, and I know he did some great things before that, and he's had a solid showing so far for the Blues, but since he's done that, things have really gone in a positive direction for the team and for the individual himself. He's a power forward. He moves the puck well. He's going to grind it out. And perfect examples of what this guy brings to the table are, you know, number one, sticking up for Samuel Blais. Number two, you know, going to the net in the first game. He's not a Picasso, his goal, but it went off of him because he went to the net and he was grinding it out. Now, number three is a great pass to Yashkin that takes, you know, a soft touch to make that happen and to do it positively and set up that whole goal. And three is battling along the boards to get the face off and get the puck back to Petro. Those are all areas of the game that every team just covets players like that. So to me, so far, he's got an A-plus on his report card, and he's exactly what we wanted. And I still, to this day, to this minute, can't believe we pulled off that trade. And I'm going to find out what we have on Ron Hextall in order for that thing to be pushed through, because, oh my God, who would make that trade?
Well, you know, we know you're tight with Army, so I guess maybe – see, you like to let things leak out here on the show occasionally, and I'm not going to mention it. But if you ever – if you talk to Army and you find out that there's naked pictures of someone floating around, or as you know, like maybe, you know, there might be a ball in somebody's mouth or something, make sure you share it with our fans, will you?
Stop.
Well, I'm just trying – I'm with him on this. How did they – I can't see any way, shape, or form what Philadelphia was thinking in this deal. And again, I don't really care.
I don't know.
I
don't know. I really have no idea, honestly. Like, I've been trying to find – some reason. I did a little bit of digging in the Philly organization to find out, you know, if something soured there, if, you know, like, I don't want to insinuate that he, you know, messed around with anybody's girlfriend or wife. And,
oh, boy.
And trust me, I have not heard that at all. So people at home, I have not heard that at all. I'm just using it as an example of something that can get a guy shipped out of town for a guy that isn't comparable.
Because that's never happened in Blues history, by the way. I mean, we've never had an incident with a babysitter or a player's wife.
Come on. Okay, let's focus there. Let's keep it moving forward here. Let's keep it moving forward. But, yeah, you know, it's a great trade. I still, like I said, I don't know how it got completed just like that.
but it did.
Who gives a shit? We'll take it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And like I said, I think, you know, and then to be honest here, all is right in the world. You know, we've talked a little bit about Schwartz, and while the goals weren't there, you've always felt the game was there. Look at the assist pile up. Look at the hard work along the boards. Here we are, you know, two games into the season, and a couple things that were going on. Like, we got a goal from Schwartz. We got the goal from Parayko in the first, you know, and look last year how he couldn't get off the Snide for a while. And then really we culminate the whole thing. The fans get exactly what they want, and that's 91 sniping on the short side with about an inch to work with on the big goaltender. And, again, just a great night. I know our friend Dennis Minner from Minner's Arena, you're aware he's going to be bringing it to you live from Minner Arena each week on the Monday edition with a little five-minute take from a fan's perspective. You know, he had just tweeted out how excited he was about his first episode today, and he was hoping that if there was a Jamie's Piss segment, that it wouldn't be because he was joining the show, as he tweeted out. But so I know fans are wondering if you're pissed, but I will say this, and I mentioned it earlier, you're going to be excited about his first segment, because I was really proud of him because he was nervous about doing this. He takes you a little bit through the fan perspective of the new upgrades at Scott Trade. So I know you were out of town with your young team. I'm sure you're looking forward to getting down there and seeing all these upgrades as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I will say this, and for, you know, you guys and people at home, take it the right way. I don't often get to go through the fan experience of going into the rink and going down the concourse and going out and sitting in my seats and that. Like, you know, however you want to take it, that's just not where I sit at the rink, you know, and I never have as a player when I was in the game, and now as a retired player. You know, we go in, we're privileged to have, you know, areas of the rink where we can go in, and then certainly the alumni suite way up above where we have things provided to us. I'm really excited to hear from Dennis, because I don't get to see that part of it. And I know that a lot of people at home, you know, haven't seen it yet. So I'm hoping that Dennis can provide some good information and tell us what he likes about it and, you know, maybe what things could continue to go on down there. I know they've put a shit ton of work into improving the situation, and I've seen the scoreboard and the new seats that they have at the one end, at the McBride end, in lieu of suites, they put in some upper-class seats that have some privileges. So,
really cool.
You know, all this stuff is going to be good information for people that want to take in a Blues game in the future.
We need to buy tickets and make Rivs go with us.
Yes.
Just incognito.
Yes.
Just go incognito. Now, we'll just go sit down and see if see how he acts.
This is like, you know what you feel? It's almost like when you try to surprise your wife with something, so you got to call their boss and say, listen, I'm taking her out of town, so she needs a day off. We got to call the Blues and say, look, we're going to get some tickets, and we want Rivs to go to a game like a normal, everyday guy. So with us. So he can't work the game that he can't work. He can't work for Fox Sports, one of his 18 jobs that he has. Right. I got to call Synergy. I got to call his wife. I got to call like 10 minor league players and say, listen, Jamie's off Saturday and Saturday night. He's going to the game with the boys, and we're going to drink about 30 beers,
right?
And we're going to have a good time.
Because I've done that with Kimby, and it's fun. But now we need Rivs, like sitting, make him sit between you and me.
Yes, that'd be a good
There's
one.
Not a lot of room there, but you can sit there.
Now, hang on. Now, I've done it once in my life. Once.
Okay? Once.
And once.
Johnny Dangerous.
Yeah, Johnny Dangerous.
Only been once. Is, you know, look, I know I'm no Brett Hull. I'm not even close to Brett Hull. Trust me, I can't even fold Brett Hull's clothes. So, however, though, when I did go to the game and I was sitting there and someone by chance just recognized that I was sitting behind them, and then people are standing up, people are talking, and other people are getting angry because they're trying to watch the game, and you know, it just... It was a weird feeling because fans are so awesome in St. Louis, and they're so passionate about their current and former players that, you know, sitting there, I became a distraction, which I didn't want to do that. And certainly I feel uncomfortable with that because, like I said, I'm not even, you know, qualified to fold Brett Hull's clothes, let alone attract any attention like that.
We'll
so
put you in disguise.
That was the
put him in a mustache.
We'll put a beard and glasses. It looked like Al Pacino at one of the Lakers games.
Absolutely.
Serpico. That'd be real good.
We'll see. We'll make it happen. I'm just saying that's – I'm not, you know, uptight or one of those guys who thinks I'm too good for everything. It's just the way it works out. It's just a lot easier for me and better for people around me sometimes to just stay out of the way.
Wow. No, hey, it would be a good time. I can tell you that. It'd be a real nice time. You're right, Jamie. The fans are great, and it is. Whenever they see you guys and they figure out, you know, who you are and the whole thing, they're curious, your take. They want to know what it was like, and that's why we're very lucky to have you on the show every week. So I guess we got to answer the question. Do you have anything to be pissed about? I'm not sure you do after two games, do you?
No, I mean, really, there's no material to be pissed about.
Well, fans aren't going to like that
at all. I mean, we beat the Stars. We ruined, you know, not that we were trying to do that, but we ruined Hitch's homecoming or whatever you want to call it to St. Louis and played a hard game. Boys are looking good right now. So, you know, no reason to be pissed just to be pissed because, you know, unfortunately, that happens enough just on its own.
So you're happy, kind of.
I'm happy today. Don't worry. Be happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. Well, and again, as your segment and is always brought to us by Synergy Hockey, the wonderful company that you're an owner of and is affiliated with our wonderful St. Louis Blues to develop youth hockey throughout the city of St. Louis, and then your own endeavors as you help a lot of young men either reach their potential or pursue their dreams, however you want to look at it. You've had so many great stories that we're hearing more and more about every day. So again, on Thursdays, you know, you'll always get your St. Louis Blues minor youth hockey report brought to you by Synergy Hockey, and of course, your great friends, the Nelsons, with their Nelson Landscaping. You know, you were out of town with your young guys this week. How'd it go?
You know, went pretty good. You know, we went into the weekend undefeated, and I think we were like 15th in the country, and we had a big opponent. We went to play Team Wisconsin, and they're a top 10 team in the nation, and we went in there and went 1-2 with them and probably should have went 2-1. The last game was a bit of a coin toss. There were some goals back and forth, but, you know, both teams played hard. And they got a hell of a hockey team and a hell of a program up in Wisconsin. So for us little guys here that are just picking out of the city of St. Louis, you know, I was really proud of what the boys did, and you know, come a long way. You know, last year the team was in the 40s for the rankings, and you know, we're breaking the top 15 now. So these boys have put in a lot of work.
Well, that's good to hear. Like I said, I mean, your stories are becoming legendary in town. You've done an amazing job with some players that are really starting to make their mark. I know you're very proud to tweet out, you know, some of the alumni from Synergy Hockey that are, you know, making their debuts in the NHL, getting drafted, getting opportunities. Some of them in the minors. Again, it's not all Rose Garden for everybody, you know, heading to the league right away. It's a lot of hard work and a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. But I say it all the time when I see you in studio and maybe some of these guys come up or they get an opportunity or score their first goal, you're like that proud dad. So I know there's tons and tons and tons of people throughout the area that are very, and Gary shaking his head over here, very lucky to be associated with Synergy Hockey as far as them trying to help their son or daughter just become the best player they can be, and I know that's what you do. So you got a lot cooking right now, so why don't you tell our listeners where they can learn more about Synergy Hockey and the development that you provide, and we'll let you get out of here and get on with your Monday duties, because I know we got a game today, believe that. We got a day game, I'm assuming it's because it's Columbus Day. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about Synergy Hockey, and we'll let you get out of here so you can go watch some hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people can log on to synergyhockeyskills.com and just kind of surf the website. There's a lot of interesting stuff. And currently right now in our fall session, we're running some small group lessons. And, you know, they're one of the best ways to accelerate your kids' development. You have two players for each coach, and they really get a lot of work and a lot of attention to detail. And we have lessons that are running 6 out of 7 days a week, working out of the St. Louis Ice Zone, which is currently the practice facility for the Blues. So we do see glimpses of those guys every now and then. It's worth coming down and take a look. But, yeah, we've got that going on right now and certainly getting ready to launch all of our camps here soon for next summer and get everything solidified and move forward from there. And before I go, I wanted to mention here on the show that that Gary Henson and Derek Pallardy and their coaches over at McKendree University have been incredible with their players, providing them as volunteers for some of the stuff that Synergy Hockey and the Blues are doing. We're over at the McKendree rink running a little Blues program that introduces players to the game, and these kids pay $100 and they get top to bottom gear, head to toe from CCM, and they get 6 practices provided by myself and other guys from Synergy Hockey and volunteers. And the big chunk of volunteers have been some of the McKendree Bearcats and Gary's team and Derek Ballard's team. And they're awesome out there. They do a great job with the kids. So kudos to you, Gary. You got a great bunch of guys out there and you got a great program going.
And thanks, Jamie. You boys really enjoy helping out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good. And you know, that the whole thing, I look back to some of the great organizations that like my son played for, and you know, when they started these programs to introduce hockey to kids and to help grow the game, it was good for everybody involved. And I know that's why the St. Louis Blues are so passionate about being involved in all the organizations, because I think they know that's where a lot of their fans come from. But I applaud those organizations for understanding what they were up against. And let's face it, you and I used to talk about it when we were young. I mean, it's not like other sports where you can sign up for $30 and try it out for a year. You got to buy equipment. You know, it's an expensive sport. To make it affordable for these kids to try this stuff, and Jamie, you've said on numerous occasions, you know, I don't want to hear that money's the issue. If somebody wants to try this game out, have them get a hold of me, and we will find a way to let them try it to see if they like it and it's worth the discussion. So that's a hats off to everybody involved, guys like you, Jamie, Synergy Hockey, of course, the St. Louis Blues, all the great organizations, and, of course, the things you don't hear about, you know, clubs like McKendree Hockey, the college hockey team, donating of their time so that the kids can find out, hey, I really do like this game.
Yeah, it's great. Honestly, it's the support that the hockey community has here in St. Louis is incredible. And like you said, you mentioned all those avenues of people that are helping out and programs like Gary's and other programs that offer some volunteers. Helps grow the game. And then I always say, you never know. These kids, you know, at some point, all of these volunteers, all these kids that go through the program as coaches, they go from being volunteers like this to one day coaching their own kids or other kids, and they'll continue to grow the game in St. Louis on their own. Without even knowing it, they'll have started their coaching gigs as volunteers out there for a Little Blues program.
That's great stuff. And I know we went a little long today, but I don't want to leave without – I did see a tweet from you that I forgot. I did want to address kind of quickly because I know you're really proud of this. And I think some teams – you know, a lot of things come together, and at the end of the season, you look at it and say, you know, this was a big thing for us because it got us together, and we appreciate. You tweeted out something that the Blues are doing internally, and you wore number 6. You wore it with pride. One of the guys that you thought a lot of was Jimmy Roberts. It looks like the Blues in-house are going to reward with their kind of their hard hat player, the Jimmy Roberts award. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that? That's one of the types of things that are going on behind the scenes that I know our fans love to hear from somebody like yourself.
Oh God. Wow. I'm telling you, I could seriously dedicate an hour alone at minimum on talking about Jimmy Roberts and what he brought to the game of hockey and St. Louis Blues and what he personally brought to the game for me. And, you know, he was my first professional coach in the minors in the American Hockey League. And he is just an incredible man. You know, he helped me a lot. He helped me mature. He was hard on me. He was fair. We became, great friends right to the very end where he had his battle with cancer going, and unfortunately, we lost him. But I had the opportunity to speak with him a couple of days before his passing, and it was great because I got it. You have those moments where you don't get to thank people sometimes because they're gone. And I had the stage was mine with Jimmy at his house in his living room to thank him for everything he did and to acknowledge that all the stuff I didn't understand way back as a player that I thought he was crazy for, that I understand it now and that I'm actually implementing some of the crazy stuff he did I'm using now as a coach because I see what he was trying to do and I know what he was trying to accomplish. And Jimmy was just that guy who worked his freaking nuts off all the time. Nothing came easy for him. He made his mark in the NHL, won 6 Stanley Cup rings with the Montreal Canadiens, and had a coaching career that was decorated from top to bottom, and just a unique personality. I'm not lying. I could tell you stories for a minimum of an hour about some of the shit this guy did that is incredible, that guys will remember for the rest of their lives. And certainly the Irish hat that is being passed around now for the hard worker or player of the game. The Jimmy Roberts Award, as they're calling it now, the Irish hat was one of a kind, and it suited Jimmy, and it just sums him up to a T of what he was. And he's got his family still here. The Bear, Beauty Roberts, he called her the Bear. And he's got Vicky and other family, and it's just fantastic too. To see the Blues doing this. Sorry, I went on a little long.
No,
like I said, you asked me this question. I could go on forever and ever about Jimmy. And quite honestly, I'd love to save some of this for our Thursday show
because I have
a couple of stories that these fans will literally fall over out of their seats over. And Kimby will enjoy them too because Kimby knows him as a coach that he coached or played against. And so,
no, absolutely.
I think overall, great award. And Thursday, let's talk a little bit more Jimmy Roberts because he's worth it.
No. Hey, listen, and the floor is always yours. You know that. And, again, I know he was very special to you. I just saw the tweet today. I know the Blues are doing that, and I know how important it was to you. So I just wanted to give you a minute to talk about it because, you know, sometimes fans, you know, that's the one thing that gets lost in social media sometimes. Everything's kind of short and quick. And that's why our fans really listen to this show. They're listening for guys like you and Kimby and the insight from Gary and what we'll get from Butter. Some of that behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't get. So when you're ready to share a story with us, believe me, the floor is always yours. Jamie, I'm going to let you get out of here. I know you got a lot to do. We're gonna wrap up the show here with our segments from our wonderful contributors, the new live from Inter Arena, and, of course, our friend Brad Lee with his St. Louis Game Time Report. So, my friend, go watch some hockey. Enjoy your day, although I don't know that you ever really truly get to enjoy a day. You've got about 80 things to do. But hopefully you've carved out some time to watch some Blues hockey today. If not, one thing our fans can assure themselves with, if you're not going to watch it today, it'll be about 2 o'clock in the morning with a couple of Red Bulls, and you'll be able to tell us all about it on Thursday. So take care, my friend.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Good talking to you.
All right. That is the great Jamie Rivers. Again, very privileged to have him as a part of our show on an ongoing basis. And obviously, I say it all the time, he and Darren are the show, no doubt about it. I think we know our place in the pecking order. I sit at the bottom. You've got Jamie and Darren at the top. Somewhere in the middle is you, and we'll count Butter in there as well. And I'll just keep bringing up the rear as I like to do. But it's a privilege to do the show with those guys. And, you know, one of the things I like as a fan, too, and I saw you and I were kind of looking at one another, when he starts talking about a guy like Jimmy Roberts or starts talking about the game, the inside portions and things like that, that's when you know this is kind of special, because here's a guy that's been there, been through the wars, done all this stuff, and you know, we get to sit and talk to these guys. And really, those are the things as a fan that you don't get on an everyday basis, because you do a lot of wondering, so then you do a lot of guessing, right?
Yeah.
But, man, when you have the opportunity to talk to guys that have bled, and seriously, like literally bled, blood and guts for the game of hockey, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it is, and I'm a little spoiled because that's been going on for a long time. But it doesn't mean that I don't become like that. I become callous to it or forget about it. Like Every time I talk to these guys, it means something. You know, last year we talked about how I got started in coaching, and Brian Sutter was the one who kind of took a few of us under his wing when he was here and met with us for a while, and you know, kind of gave us the backbone or the blueprint of what it means to coach hockey. But the stories they share about, you know, their experiences and how they all point to a few, maybe five people in their life and in their hockey life that really, you know, kind of molded them and changed them, and how they revere these people, and they take it even further as far as, you know, kind of articulating how much respect and how much those people meant to them personally. And they speak about it, you know, from the heart all the time, and it's just good to hear always, and I think fans and everyone should appreciate that.
Yeah, no, believe me, we are about as lucky to have these guys be a part of this as anybody, and again, the best part is they're willing to share with our fans. So, you know, that's the thing. You get some guys that are guarded, other sports, they tend to do a little bit. I'm lucky. I do this with these two guys. Benji Molina, who I do the Cardinal show with, is the same way. He's passionate. He loves it. You know, I think they all know that fine line of where to cross. But what I do appreciate about all three of the guys that I work with that have played the game professionally, they understand the boundary. So they say, listen, there's nothing I'm going to say on here I wouldn't say to them.
To the person
I'm talking about. If I can't say it to them, then I'm not going to say it. It's that simple,
right?
And that's how it should be. And unfortunately, I don't know that everybody kind of lives by that creed. So that's why I'm happy to work with these guys, and it's a privilege. And I do say that honestly.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's fun, and we are lucky. I mean, we've been friends for almost 40 years or whatever it's been now. So, you know, when we were 15 years old, if you'd have said, hey, we're going to be sitting here doing a show with some ex-professionals in baseball and hockey, we probably would have said doubtful. But we are really lucky to be sitting here with them, and what makes them even better is how they treat us. You know, they respect us and they listen to us, and then they make fun of us. So
and they make fun of us. Yeah, well, that they do. So anyway, well, hey, listen, it's time now to go to some other fan perspective and get some insight. I'm really excited about this new one, and this year I'm hopeful that you'll be able to join us. I know last year you were out of town,
but
with his contributions now to the show, we're kind of committed to going there at least a couple of times, if not more. It's going to be a lot of fun, and when
it
we go
looks
there,
really cool.
It is. It's an unbelievable thing, and I'm going to encourage everybody to, you know, as our friend Fish would say, you know, you can get on your old Google box there, your old computer box, and your Google machine and Google Mentor's Arena. Let me tell you, Dennis is a huge fan. He's very passionate. He's got his own takes, and that's what we're excited about him bringing to the show. But it's time now for us to go to our newest segment, live from Mentor Arena. Take it away, my good friend Dennis.
Hey, thanks guys. This is Dennis Mentor, live from Mentor Arena, the St. Louis Blues ultimate fan cave. If you have no idea what me or any of the other guys are talking about when you hear about Mentor Arena, Check me out, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. It's at Minner Arena, M-I-N-N-E-R, and just let the craziness begin. So, hey, I'm glad and excited to be on here weekly starting this week, and I want to jump right in. Let's talk about these upgrades. As a fan, I am absolutely ecstatic when I walked in. For that first night, my season level tickets are up in the upper level. I'm in the cheap seats. And as soon as I got off the escalator, just walking down the aisleway and looking in and seeing this incredible, amazing Jumbotron, the lights, the new sound, everything about it's amazing. Absolutely love the new glass that we have around the arena. Part of that is because I was given some of the glass for Minner Arena. But I've got to tell you, enlarge those power play numbers. You know, when the time's coming up, it seems like it's so hard to see that. Just mind-boggling on that massive screen. But overall, just absolutely incredible, incredible experience. Look, the white numbers, it's like the elephant in the room. I'm getting used to it, and I'm sure everybody else is also. Before long, I'm sure nobody will even think about it. I don't know. For me, it kind of gives the uniforms a new clean kind of look. But I've got to be honest with you. Season started. I was, you know, right before the preseason, I was really excited. And then all of a sudden, we hear all the injuries. Bomeister, Berge, Fabry, Sanford, Steen. It was just one after the other. It was like the curse was hitting us long before the season was even starting. And then here we are, our first game. We've got to go into, to watch the Pens raising yet another banner before we have even had the chance to raise one of ours. And I got to be excited. I've got to be honest. I wasn't really that excited about watching the game. I was just kind of in a funk already. I didn't even close to expect that we were going to walk away with 2 points. And just absolutely so excited to watch that team come together like they did with an OT win against the reigning Stanley Cup champs. It was just an absolutely incredible, incredible thing. And then here we are. We just have the home opener, and unbelievable. You know, who scores first? But, you know, Gunnarsson, seriously? The guy hasn't scored since 2016, but here he is with the number 4 on his jersey, and all of them wearing the number 4 for Noel Picard. And what an amazing Cinderella story for him to score that first goal. You know, it goes back to the night that Plager, you know, his numbers raised, and we score the same amount of goals. Then Stan Musial dies, and you know, years ago, and we score the same amount. Just an amazing thing, just the heart that this team is starting to show. But I tell you what, watching this team, in particular, there on home ice, was just absolutely, it was breathtaking. I think especially from the attitude I had just a few nights before, not real excited about Pittsburgh. And watching, I mean, look, everybody out there is talking about Shin and Schwartz. And let's throw in Yaskin in there. Absolutely, just incredible chemistry those guys are showing. And it's so much fun. I've never been a big, big Yaskin fan. Anyone that knows me knows that. But I'm hoping this is his year. I'm hoping this is his year that he kind of steps up. And we'll see if this line continues because, man, this SSJ line is absolutely rolling right now. Tage Thompson, just the maturity that he is already showing as a young player, incredible, breathtaking, watching those long arms just reach in and grab that puck and just maneuver it, and the patience that he has. But the team is showing aggression. I think they had, 39 or 40 hits? Very, you know, big time, more than they ever had last season. So just incredible watching the teamwork of these young guys already coming together without the help of a lot of the guys that are hurt. But here we are. We're on the eve of the road trip, 4-game road trip, and then back home for the Blackhawks. Cannot wait to see how these guys come together and continue on this 4-game road trip. So that's it. This is Dennis Minner live for Minner Arena. Again, check me out, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at Minner Arena. And give me a follow. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you want to hear me talk about. And let's go from there. Let's go Blues.
All right. That was his inaugural Live from Minner Arena with Dennis Minner. I'll tell you, I thought he did a good job. You know, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, he sent it to me. He was a little nervous because he's – and you know what? He's like a – honestly, and I say this. This is completely honest. He was like a kid. When we asked, when we approached him about doing this, he was like ecstatic, like a little kid. Like, I get to do this. And he's so excited about it. And I'm so happy for him because he's such a huge fan. But the reality of it is I thought he did a great job. And one of the things I told him was what I really enjoyed was you kind of at the beginning, and I wish he would have done more. I wish he would have really like went the whole nine with it. And I understood that, you know, he's like, I had 5 minutes and da-da-da. But, you know, he kind of took us through that journey a little bit for all of us that weren't at the first game of the upgrades. And again, he could have went on and on and on about it, and I'd have been completely fine with it. But then he obviously gives us his thoughts, which, again, that's what this is all about. It's a fan show, and we're always going to be curious to hear your guys' takes as well, especially on the new players, on the state of the team, how guys are doing. Again, are we always going to agree? No, we're not. But that's what this is all about. If we all agreed and it was all black and white, you wouldn't need to hear from us, I promise you. So, again, we appreciate guys like Dennis. We appreciate all the great fans out there. So,
yeah,
please.
Even if they only have 9 followers.
Even if they only have 9 followers. Listen, it was a lot of fun. And, this guy, I have no idea who he is. And if he's listening and he's laughing at us right now, listen, your opinion means just as much as ours or anybody else's. Everybody's welcome to it. Jump in. Let's have some more fun with it. I told him, I said, you know, hey, we may have to work this thing out where we bring you in one day because, again, and I do mean this, I would love to hear whatever reality it is you want to lay on Darren and Jamie.
I want to be here.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe we will do that because I've always wanted to do stuff like that. So
I want to see some reality.
No, but, hey, I thought, Dennis, I know you're a fan and you're listening to your own show now, and I got to tell you, I thought you did a great job, and I look forward weeks to come of Live from Minner Arena. Another gentleman who joined the show last year, that does an unbelievable job here in St. Louis. A lot of you guys are familiar with his work. If you ever go to a Blues game and you walk in, if you're fortunate enough, you have walked by the guy selling the St. Louis Game Time. It's I affectionately call it a rag. That's what, you know, they used to call papers way back in the day. It is a true rag. And let me tell you, I love it because the articles in it aren't, I mean, you're going to get some in-depth stuff about the state of the team, things like that. But it's not like, and again, this is no disrespect to the St. Louis paper and all that kind of stuff, but you're going to get some real articles in there from some real fans that are going to say some things that other people just don't want to say. And some of it you may agree with, some of it you don't agree with. That's the whole point of the paper. It makes you look at your team in a different light, think about some things, it raises some questions, and most of all, you get to have a lot of fun with it. And it's I know for you, it's become a must-read.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you've told me that, like, you can't even, like, now if you go to a game and you don't have it, you feel naked. And I think a lot of people are that way. There's also ways to receive it in your inbox so that you can, you know, you can do whatever you want with it before the game and all that kind of stuff. But it's a great paper. And, again, I affectionately call it a rag. And it is. I look forward to it. It's in my inbox before every game. And, again, I appreciate what these guys are doing because they're really no different than us. They're just trying to find an avenue for people to get their thoughts and opinions out. We're happy to be affiliated with Brad Lee. He does a phenomenal job. So it's time for the first edition of the St. Louis Game Time here on your Blues NHL podcast. Brad, take it away.
Hi, this is Brad with St. Louis Game Time on the Game Time segment of the podcast. Thanks for listening. It's good to be back for another Blues hockey season. Is this 51st anniversary? Is this the 50th? I mean, they started playing 50 years ago. I don't know how all that stuff works. So, hey, welcome back. It's hockey season. I'm actually recording this Monday during first intermission of the Blues at Islanders Columbus Day / Canadian Thanksgiving Day matinee, whatever you want to call it. They're tied 0-0 after one period. But let's talk a little bit about the first two games and kind of the beginning of the season and a few things that I've noticed. First of all, the defense is scoring a lot, which is good. I mean, you need to have a threat back there on the blue line. For a long time, a generation or two, it seems like, after Chris Pronger was traded, after Al MacInnis retired, it seemed like the Blues could not find a consistent threat from the blue line. And so you'd see on the power play, for instance, where the forwards would not go out and pressure the puck on the blue line, and they'd kind of collapse closer to the goal, or they'd be able to follow Vladimir Tarasenko closer, or whoever was parked in front of the net got a lot more attention because there wasn't that threat from the blue line. Hey, I think they're providing more of a threat from the blue line. You know, Alex Pietrangelo has 2 goals in the first game, and I think in Saturday night's game, Edmondson and Pareko had scored before, but even Gunnarsson got in on the act. And you see guys, the defenders are coming in low. They're pinching in more. They're activating, I think is what they say up in Canada. And it's making a difference, because then you really have to be able to defend your entire own end instead of just kind of focusing from the circles down or in a certain spots on the ice. You know, even Tarasenko's goal on the power play on Saturday night, he's over on the off wing on the right side, and he got a lot of space because they had to commit to defending more of the ice, and they couldn't just have a guy stationed over there and watch him on that side. He got a little time and space, and he made a heck of a shot putting it under the bar, and it illustrates how that helps the entire team. But one thing I think that's interesting is if you go back to some of the playoff performances where the Blues did not advance, when they lost to the LA Kings, for example. That next draft, they drafted, I think the shortest guy they drafted was 6'2". Everyone was a giant because, you know, the Kings were a really tall team, a really physical team. And so the Blues said, well, you know what, maybe that's the way the NHL is going, and we need to get bigger and stronger and tougher. And then they had some trouble with Chicago, and they were a much smaller, faster team. And so they drafted smaller, faster players. That's fine. I do think it's interesting the Blues have been such a reactionary organization where they face adversity with a specific kind of team with a very specific trait, and then they try to emulate that. And, you know, if you look at the team that beat the Blues in the playoffs last year, it was the Nashville Predators. And what was their calling card in the playoffs? Their defensemen stepping up and chipping in on the offense, and really kind of leading the attack at certain points. Ryan Ellis and P.K. Subban, and they really were dangerous to score every time down. And when they get the puck at the blue line, the forwards had to come out and pressure that puck. Otherwise, giving time and space, once again, they'd create offense, and that's how the Predators made it to the Stanley Cup final. So, gosh, you look at the beginning of the season, and the Blues are really more active with their defense. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Maybe it's something they should have been focusing on before, and they hadn't. A lot of the national media, that's the hockey media, for instance, on satellite radio, the NHL Network radio, whenever they were talking, I listened to a lot of that last week before the season started, and a lot of the season preview, whenever they mentioned the Blues, said, well, you know, they're sneaky good. Vladimir Tarasenko is a lot better than most people think. He needs a center. And wow, I love their defense, I love their defensemen. Not necessarily how they play defense or what they could do, but that they thought the Blues had a lot of skill on defense, and it's showing that so far. It'll be interesting to see. And I think the other interesting thing I'd like to mention here is I try to keep this first episode short because you got a lot to listen to from Jamie and the guys and Darren. But I think it's interesting how the Blues have used Braden Schenn coming over from Philadelphia. He was moved over to the wing and tried with Claude Giroux a lot, which I can understand. You know, if you can play with a guy who's been one of the best centers in the league for several years now. He might be on the decline now. But, you know, at the time, one of the best centers in the league, and you think he's more of a goal scorer than passer, then make that. I know that there were knocks on Braden Schenn, that he didn't have very good foot speed, that he may not have been fast enough to effectively play center, to get back and do those defensive responsibilities as well as what you have to do as a center in the offensive zone. I get that. He came up through juniors as an amateur, playing center. He was drafted as a center. He came into the league playing center. He wants to play center. He identifies as a center. So using him, and I got to tell you, the chemistry that he is building with Jaden Schwartz is incredible to see this early in the season, one period into the third game of the year. And I said it opening night on Twitter, at ST Lewis Game Time, that the Braden and Jaden show, we might as well just make their line a combination of their first names, because when you say it, you end up saying Jabraden or Brajaden, Jabraden. It just mixes together. So it's either the Brejaden line or the Brejaden line. Jabraden, Brejaden, I don't know. It'll stick, I promise. Just start using it and, you know, we'll just, you can say you heard it here first. Anyway, keep those guys together. And honestly, you know, if it's Dmitri Yaskin on right wing, it really hasn't made a big difference. And that guy, you know, he's been a prospect, quote-unquote prospect, for so many years now. I think it's safe to say we've seen the best that Dmitri Yaskin can play, and I don't think it's that good. When they get a couple guys back, when Alexander Steen gets back, and you can either make the decision to put Steen up on the top line with Paul Stastny and Tarasenko, or if you really want to keep Sobotka up there and you put Steen on the second line with Shen and Schwartz, either way, I think that's going to be really enticing, and I think they're going to have two really solid lines. And then that third line is all about earning your playing time, and we're seeing it today where Oscar Sundqvist came out and Ivan Barbashev goes in at center on the third line. And you've got Tage Thompson now in his third NHL season. And you've got young guys fighting for playing time. Wade Megan is playing today after sitting the first couple games. And you really see an opportunity where these young guys, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, are getting opportunities. Wade Megan's not that young, but these other guys are. To really earn playing time. And you tell them, hey, if you want ice time, if you want to play, you got to perform. And if it looks like you're struggling, you're gonna watch a game or two until we can get you back in. And I think that competition is healthy. I think for years, the Blues were bringing up guys that saw very little, if no, minor league time. Patrick Berglund never spent time in the minors. TJ Oshie never spent time in the minors. David Backes spent from October until early December in the minors. So David Perron never went to the minors. So many guys that were given NHL jobs that didn't earn it. And now these guys are having to earn it. And they have to earn playing time to stay up here, and they have to earn playing time to get on the ice. And that competition is going to be really healthy. And a theme that I think is going to be for this year that maybe the team doesn't mention, but, you know, Paul Stastny's $7 million cap hit comes off the cap after this season. Jay Bouwmeester has 1 year left on his contract after the season at over $5.5 million. It's conceivable, not probable, but it's conceivable they could buy him out and they could half that back from the cap for next season. There is going to be a lot of money available under the cap after this season, and they're giving young guys playing time to get them seasoned. I think this is much more of a setup year for next year, where they could make a run at a true number one center that could play with Tarasenko during the prime of his career. And they could get some of these young guys and make them NHL regulars by next year and really see this team come together. Jake Allen will still be under contract. He'll be 28 years old. His third season as the number one guy. It just seems like, man, next year is the opportunity. See what happens this year. You never know. You get to the playoffs, anything can happen. But I really think the arrow is pointing up in the right direction for so many of these guys. And you know what? I think it's just you have to have the right expectations on the season. But you know what? Hey, they're 2-0, and they're in this game here on Monday. And, you know, they play Tuesday at the Rangers, who have not played that well. You go down to Florida. Tampa's going to be a really good short test. Tampa's going to be a really good test. But the Panthers, you know, they're not probably the toughest team they're going to play this month. So, you know, they're racking up some points now, and it all counts the same no matter what, if you're playing now or in March. So get points now, see what happens, and who knows. It's the St. Louis Blues. I don't have to tell you that. Well, this has been all for me. I'm Bradley from Game Time. You can follow us on Twitter at SC Lewis Game Time. You can find us online at stlouisgametime.com. We're a fan-run paper as well. We sell the publication outside every Blues home game. Outside the garage driveway, 14th Street doors right in front, and then the northeast corner of 14th and Clark just outside the City Hall parking lot. Give us a try. We had 28 pages on opening night. Opinions, stats, jokes, a cartoon, a puzzle, bingo, you name it. So thanks for listening. Hopefully thanks for reading the paper and the website and Twitter and everything. And we'll be back next week. Thanks a lot.
Great stuff, as always, from our good friend Brad Lee with the St. Louis Game Time Report. Again, I think
you know, when we have the opportunity to hear from as many Blues fans as we can, especially guys that are that, I mean, you got, let me tell you something. This is another one of those things, okay? This is another one of those things that it's a tremendous amount of work that these guys are doing behind the scenes to provide, you know, Blues fans with all the different avenues they have to learn about the team, to have thoughts, have all this. And again, it's a labor of love for all these guys. For Dennis with his live from Inter Arena. For Brad Lee, all the stuff that he's doing, his love and passion for the St. Louis Blues. I do want to take a moment to say when I made contact with Brad, I hadn't talked to him in a little while. And obviously when we were firing up the Monday, I'm kind of getting everybody's ducks in a row. We are going to have Angela Sharp for you guys. We just weren't ready for her this week. She needs a week here to get going. So we will have Angela. You know, I know everybody looks forward to hearing from her as well. I'm really interested to get her take on the action down at Scott Trade as well with the fan interaction for the stuff. So we'll get that. May try to get – I'll see if she's available Thursday because I know a lot of you guys were probably getting on here looking forward to hearing from her. Maybe we can get a little report from her on Thursday. But as far as, like, Brad goes, made contact with him, hadn't heard from him. I was a little nervous. I had sent him something and said, hey, definitely want you back to be a part of the show this year. I thought what you did was great. Didn't hear from him, so I was a little nervous. Like, you know, maybe it was too much. I know he does. Again, I don't think people realize when you try to put this thing out, especially if there's back-to-back games or if there's three games in a week, it's a ton of work on top of a regular job and all that kind of stuff. So I was a little worried that, you know, maybe it was too much for him. And then he contacted me and said that, you know, he was sorry for the slow response, and which he never needed to say sorry. But he was definitely in if we'd have him, and I was happy to have him. But the reason he was slow in the response is, he had just lost his dad. They had put him in hospice, and his dad passed away, and he was just behind. So to a fellow Blues fan who there's no doubt has contributed a ton to Blues fans everywhere, I want to definitely say that we want to share our condolences with his whole family and, of course, him. As, you know, we just think about him in this time. We all deal with it in some way, shape, or form at some juncture in our life. Nobody's any different. And, again, to a guy that gives his heart and soul to the St. Louis Blues and all the Blues fans out there, we want to say from the Blues NHL podcast, our condolences are with you. Please, if there's anything, Brad, that we can do for you here at the Blues NHL podcast, let us know. But, again, I think there's tons and tons of fans out there that you have introduced to the real Blues and the real behind-the-scenes stuff. I know all of us out there are feeling for you right now, and just know that, you know, you're not in it alone. And if you ever need anything, reach out to the Blues fans because it's a great base. And, again, we're sorry for your loss. That being said, happy to have all these guys a part of the show. I'm looking forward to the Monday edition. We're going to have a lot of stuff for you guys as, again, we pride ourselves on being a fan podcast. We're very fortunate to have Jamie and Darren as former Blues to give you that insight. But at the end of the day, we're all just fans. And as I always say, what the hell do any of us really know? So happy to have everybody that's involved in the show this year. Gary, I'm looking forward to this. Again, you and I've talked many times. We've been friends for a long, long time. To be able to sit across the table from one of my best friends and do this on Monday mornings and talk Blues hockey is and somebody like yourself, obviously, with your contributions to the sport. It's a privilege, my friend.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
All right. For the Blues NHL podcast, I want to remind you to check us out at BluesNHLPodcast.com. It's where you can find the show. Find us on all of our social media avenues, at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter, at NHL Show on Twitter. Find us on Facebook by simply typing in Blues NHL Podcast. We are now on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. Thanks again to lineupmedia.fm and everything they do for the show. We wouldn't sound near this professional if we weren't part of such a professional organization. Make sure you follow us on all those social media avenues. I promise you there's going to be some great giveaways this year. We're going to do some really fun stuff. Again, I think you heard us mention we're talking about doing some stuff with Terry Ake and all the alumni. You're going to want to be a part of the Blues NHL podcast this season. For my co-hosts, Gary Henson and Butter, who's at home sick, this is your Blues NHL podcast. We'll see you on Thursday.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.